Acts. The reading's from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13, and it's on page 970 of the Church Bibles. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Great, thank you, Mark. Let's welcome up Hannah. It's going to be a long talk, guys. No. Can I pray for you? Is that okay? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for just the short snippet of the testimony of your goodness in Hannah's life that I got to hear. And Father, thank you for all the things that you've done in her life, the way that you have loved her and revealed your truth to her. And I pray now that we would just be able to glean something of her history with you. Amen.
Amen, amen. I do have a library. It's like, oh gosh, the papers are falling. Emma, who is wonderfully doing the projections for us today, came up and said, have you got any projections that you need to put on, you know, like a slide? I was like, no, I've just bought every book that I own. So that's good. Thankfully, we don't need this one, though, because Mark just wonderfully read the scripture that we're looking at today. So when we were deciding about topics to talk about and things like that, I say we, I didn't decide, actually. I was given a piece of scripture and a topic to talk about. I very thankfully got prayer and the piece of Matthew that we just heard. I will read it again for us, but I got very excited. I was like, cool, I know about the Lord's Prayer. Who doesn't know about the Lord's Prayer? And I sat down very excitedly and started to write about the Lord's Prayer. And I wrote down, Our Father in heaven. And I was like, who are we praying to? Hallowed be your name. How do we treat him? And I went down this thing. I'm like, oh, this is so easy. This is really good. So got this. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit just went, Hannah, have you read the passage? And I was like, yes, 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 I've read the passage. I'm writing a sermon, Lord. I don't know what you're doing. And excuse me. And he's like, I think you need to read it again. So I'm actually going to get this big one back because I've helpfully marked where we are today. Maybe. Do not babble like the pagans. Hannah, in her beginning preparation of what we were going to share tonight, was definitely babbling like the pagans. I didn't take the time to sit and listen. I didn't take the time to actually be like, actually, Lord, what shall we talk about? What are we going to share? And what adventure are we going to go on? Just to put this all in a little bit of context, we are in a series at the moment called Ministries from the Mountain. Great. Last week, Chris shared wonderfully about our motivations and that God sees the unseen. And that we need to really check ourselves on why we're doing what we're doing and what it is that, excuse me, and what it is that makes us move forward in the things that we do and what it looks like. I'd highly recommend listening to that. And so I'm following on a little bit from that. We have a bit of that in this passage as well. It says, truly I tell you that they have received their reward in full, that is the pagans who have been babbling. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So when I'd finally been quiet long enough and slightly gone into my room and closed the door and asked the Lord what we were going to have a little think about, I felt like he began to show me this picture of what it might look like to cultivate an eternal relationship. And I love that Sophie just brought that out in worship and that concentration now, instead of thinking about, maybe when we think about prayer, we think about, oh, I need to carve out some time in the mornings and in the evenings, and that is the mark of me being a really good Christian and the mark of me being really good at my relationship with God. Those things are brilliant. Please do those things. But also, it's not necessarily that that is the mark. That's not what we're measuring ourselves up against. What we're actually measuring ourselves up against is whether or not we can say we do know the one we're talking to. Whether or not we can say, yeah, I want to be close to this person, and this is my eternal relationship. This is where I want to be. So I have a little kind of diagram here, which I probably should have put on a slide. Sorry, Emma. It's fine. I'm just going to describe it to you. And I felt like the Lord was saying, we start off here with the secret place. So we go off, we carve out a space. I think that can be physical, as we hear in the scripture, as in you go into a room, you shut the door. Jesus went to mountains a lot on his own. He went and away from the crowd, so he physically removes himself. It can also, I think, be a heart space where we've just made some space for the Lord. But anyway, we create a secret space and we say, I'm going to give you my full attention in this space. Then we pray. And then very helpfully, obviously, Jesus, because he's wonderful, tells us exactly how we should do that. He doesn't leave us floundering around like, what do I do now? I'm in my secret place. I'm on my own. Oh, hello. He says, this is how you do it. This is what you do. And first, yeah, you address your Father. And I don't know what the connotations of the word Father have for you personally. I don't know what your earthly dad is like. I know that can be really difficult. But again, in scripture, we have incredibly helpful bits and pieces, quite a lot of it actually, that describes to us the character of the person who we get to sit with, the person that we get to talk to. We get to ask the deep questions, the hard questions. That person is trustworthy, is always good, as we've just heard. Will never, ever let us down, as Deb's just sung. And I think when we begin to understand that and we go into the secret place, it's not like, I used to hear that, and I was like, sounds a bit scary and a bit weird. Actually, here's a good thing. When I became a Christian, I was 14, and I was reading the Bible, and it was, oh, this is bad. I'm not going to remember the psalm. Psalm 139, search me and know me and know everything about me and follow me. Psalm 139. So helpful with all the nods. Thank you. That was good. And it's terrified the life out of me. You search me and you know me. You follow me everywhere. Also, like Psalm 23, we just did that. Lead me by still water. I had this creepy thing going on in my head. I did not have a correct view of who it was that was saying the things to me, because I didn't know him yet. I'd said, yes, Lord, I want to give you my life. And I meant it. I didn't know who I was talking to. And I think through years and years now of having the privilege of being allowed to sit with him and see him move in so many people's lives, it's meant that now I have a correct view, or nearly correct view. It's not always correct. But a better view, that's better. I have a better view of who I'm sitting opposite. So we have the secret place. We've carved out this space. And then I felt like the Lord said, then you pray, then you talk to me. And I'm like, yeah, I like talking, that's good. Some of us might find that hard. That's actually quite difficult. And it's also, some people find it hard to talk to a person who is physically in front of them. And I've had the sense that there might be some people in this room who find it then hard to start a conversation with an entity that is not there in front of them. I had one friend who found it so difficult that he used to make a cup of tea for himself, and he made a cup of tea for Jesus, and he would be like, right, I've got to get this. He's now training to be a vicar, but back in the day, he was like, no, I've got to understand what this looks like. I can't quite get it in my head. And I think, you know, we will all do things. We'll all figure out what that looks like for us. And just like in any relationship that we're cultivating and anything that we're trying to build, it takes time. It takes perseverance. It takes passion. The prayer thing, I think as well, sometimes potentially if you've been in church for a long time, we pray a lot. We do a lot of praying. great. Hallelujah, let's always do it. And we have one way that we see that it might look. But I believe that just like God is so expansive and so many different hues of colors and so many different things, our communication with him can be the same. The outcome should always be that we get closer into him. But the actual process by which we get there doesn't have to look the same for every person. And I felt like God also wanted to speak freedom for us in this place tonight to say, do it however you need to. Come and meet me however you need to. Find your secret place. Find that place that is set apart where you can give me your full attention, where there are no distractions, where I can tell you about how much I love you, and where you can receive that more fully than you ever have so that you can go out and people will see more of me. So we have our secret place. We've made it. We're praying. We're getting there with the communication and then learning how to talk to someone we don't see yet, or we may see, but it's all a bit confusing, and that's the thing. But then here's some really cool things that happen. Then what happens is that you get close. You get close to God, which is a mystery in and of itself. Does anyone like Philip Pullman books in this room? That is not surprising, because Philip Pullman is a massive atheist. And he wrote a thing called The Dark Materials. So the Northern Lights. I'm going to forget the other ones. Anyway, he's written a lot. He's an Oxford professor. I love Philip Pullman. He was my first kind of literary love. Even though he's a staunch atheist, he's very, very, we wouldn't agree about some things. But he writes beautifully, and he's just brought out a new book. I'm not advertising this book, but he brought out this new book, and I've been reading it literally nonstop since 2 days ago. But it's actually broken my heart a little bit, and I think God was moving in when I read this bit. So I'm just going to read it to you, and then I'll explain why I'm saying it. It says, "Then he leaped up lightly onto her pillow. In the ray of moonlight that came through the gap in the curtains, he crouched and gazed at her sleeping face. Her lips were flushed, her dark gold hair was damp. Those lips that had whispered to him so often and kissed him and kissed Will too were compressed. A little frown hovered over her brow, coming and going like clouds in a windy sky. They all spoke of things that were not right, of a person who was becoming more and more unreachable to him as he was to her. And he had no idea what to do about it. All he could do was lie down close against her flesh that at least was still warm and welcoming. At least they were still alive." Whew. I know that's not going to move anyone because you don't know what it's about yet, but it's moving me. So the context of this bit of this book is that in this universe that Philip Pullman has created, human being souls are represented by an animal that is always close to them. And as children, the animal can change shape depending on how, like, where the child is or kind of what they're doing or how they're feeling. But as a child grows up into an adult, it assumes one shape. And if that shape is, say it's like a seabird, the human will always have to be on the sea because their soul, they're called demons in the book. Their soul is made to be by the sea. So the creature that's climbing up next to Lyra's flesh is her soul. And in other parts of the book, essentially they've been separated, which is unheard of for humans. That's not a thing that should happen in this universe. And they are trying to reconcile back together, and they don't know how. And as a reader of all of the trilogies, it's a shock because you're used to them being closer than flesh. You're used to them understanding each other, and you're used to them understanding exactly what's going on without even having to think about it. And it broke my heart because I believe that God wants us to be as close as that to him, that we would feel his heartbeat, that we would know exactly what it is that he's trying to say to us at any given moment, that we would move where he was and that we wouldn't be separated from him at any point. So that if he was said, you know, we're going to go to the sea now, we're going to go to the sea. I felt a heartbreak that there would be people that would not know what it is to walk with the one who loves them that much. And I want to say to us as a family that that isn't something that we have to choose, that we can choose to be that close. We don't have to face that separation. And that what happens when you go to your secret place and you pray slash talk to God, you get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. And so then the final part of this sort of circle is that there is then a desire to go back into the secret place, to go and pray and talk to the one who loves you, so that you can be close, so that you can, and it's this beautiful thing that happens. And in this piece of scripture, yes, I think that Jesus is saying many things I have not mentioned, but I think he is saying, when you listen to me, I can tell you the good way to go. I will tell you the whole way to go. I will tell you how to get there. I will show you how to get there. But mainly what the desire is of your Father, of my Father, is that you are close to him and that you desire him and you desire that time with him. And it is not about, the outcome is not that you would pray. The outcome is that you would know who he is and then you would take him out and you would show other people who he is. And that is a privilege, friends. Like, what a wholeness of being. And then I am sneaking a little bit into what Neil's going to talk about next week, but I think he's going to forgive me. Because it's about forgiveness. Yeah, you're right. Good. I didn't even plan that. The final verse in this little section, which Neil is going to talk about more next week, but it says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I'm glad I don't have to preach on the whole thing. But the outcome looks like forgiveness. That's all I want to say. It looks like that fullness, that reconciliation, the thing that our God is working into fullness in the mystery of who he is and how he's doing it, all those things. But when we spend time with him, we're able to forgive ourselves, to forgive others, and to receive, more importantly, the forgiveness and understand that forgiveness. I recently listened to a talk where there's a guy called Michael Ramsden who works... there's a guy called Michael Ramsden who works for the Ravi Zacharias Trust, and they work on Christian apologetics. And if you ever have the chance to listen to one of his talks, they're pretty full on, but quite good. And he tells his testimony in quite a few of them, and essentially says that he's a very cerebral person. He's very like, I need to know all the facts, and you can tell he's very intelligent. but he said that he'd finally decided there was no other option. He had to become a Christian, and he had to deal with the fact that he wasn't going to, like, he couldn't have fun anymore, and that he was just going to have to be good, is like how he said it. And so he goes off. He tells these four non-Christian friends that he's not going to be any fun anymore, and then goes to his Christian friends and says, okay, I'm ready, I'm going to become a Christian, and I'm ready not to be good. And his friend says, Michael, you still haven't got it. This is not about you being good. This is not about you choosing to be good. This is about you choosing to know you are forgiven, which is huge. It's huge. And so I say the same thing essentially to us tonight, that as we delve into this eternal relationship, as we begin to think about what it looks like to cultivate that eternal relationship, it's not about choosing to behave in a certain way. It's not about a rhythm of prayer per se. It could be, but it's not necessarily. It's about choosing to know the one who has forgiven you, who loves you fully, and who knows you fully, and just desires that time with you. Because this is about prayer, I think it might be good if we did some praying. Why don't we all stand? I'd love to give you all an opportunity at the beginning of our week to find a bit of a secret place. I know we can't all go off into a room and shut the door right now. But why don't you just have we're going to have a few minutes of stillness. Feel free to sit down if you're more comfortable that way. But just carve out this space with God. Maybe ask him what it looks like for you to cultivate that secret place, what it might look like this week. And I'm going to pray to open that, and I'll pray to close it, and then maybe we can do a little bit more worship after that. But Father, we come before you in awe and wonder that you have chosen us. And Lord, we ask that you would just minister in this place now. Would your spirit be with us? Would you speak to your children? We love you and we welcome you here.